Peter in Wonderland by Jesse H. Speed. Chapter 3. The Barren Garden. Peter hit the ground so hard, the air punched out of his chest. For a moment he lay still on the cracked earth, staring at a sky that did not look like any sky he had ever seen. It was not black like night, but the color of an old bruise, purple and green where a dull light leaked through the clouds. Thin strips of something like fog drifted overhead, but there were no stars. There was no sun, either. Only a restless, shifting glow that looked sick and tired at the same time. Beside him, Tinker landed in a puff of dry dust. She shook herself and flicked her ears, then sat down and gave Peter a look he knew too well. "You all right, girl?" Peter croaked. His voice scraped his throat raw. Tinker tilted her head. Her whiskers twitched once. Then she opened her mouth. "I suppose I am, though your landing could use work." Peter jerked upright so fast he nearly toppled backward again. He stared at her, eyes wide. "You just talked." Tinker licked her paw slowly and ran it over her ear. "Yes. Well done, genius." "You noticed?" Peter rubbed his eyes with the back of his hand and looked around at the broken trees and cracked soil. Nothing made sense. The forest was all sharp branches and dry grass that crunched under his boots. A cold wind sighed through the branches but did not move the air enough to stir even his hair. "You have never talked before," he said. Tinker sat down on a flat rock. She looked very calm about the whole thing. "I have always had plenty to say. You were simply too thick to hear me. Or maybe this place gave me a voice. Either way, I am enjoying it." Peter made a face at her. "Do not start acting like you are better than me now. I feed you." She narrowed her eyes. "Barely. I have licked gravy off carpet that was more filling than your dinner bowls." Peter laughed, but the sound felt too loud in the empty clearing. He pushed himself up to his feet and brushed off his coat. It did not help. His knees were scraped raw, and the dust clung everywhere. "Where are we?" he asked. He turned in a slow circle. Everywhere he looked, he saw more twisted trees and crooked roots. Some branches bent together so tightly, they looked like iron bars. There was no path, no sign, just emptiness. Tinker jumped off the rock and padded over to sniff at a patch of dry grass. "You expect me to know?" "I am a cat, Peter. Not a map." Peter rubbed his chin. "So we fell down a hole, you can talk, and this place looks like someone forgot to finish planting it." "Good start, Tinker's tail flicked. "Could be worse. At least it does not smell like burnt kebab, and that moldy towel you insist is a blanket." Peter pointed at her. "I will have you know that blanket has character." She sat back and gave him a slow blink. "It has bacteria." Peter barked out a sharp laugh. Then he crouched down in front of her. "All right, clever claws. What do you think this place is?" Tinker glanced at the trees as if they might answer for her. "It feels wrong. It smells stale. Like a room no one has opened in a long time. Old secrets. Dust." Peter frowned. "Well, it is not London, and I'm fairly sure I'm not dreaming, so maybe it is something else. Somewhere in between." Tinker purred low in her throat. "You always wanted somewhere new, Pete. Seems you got your wish." Peter once again felt a grin tug at the corner of his mouth. It felt strange on his face, like it belonged to someone else. "Yeah," he said. "Might as well look around. Maybe there is someone around who can answer some questions." Tinker trotted ahead, her paws silent on the brittle grass. She turned her head and her eyes glowed faintly in the half-light. "Try not to trip over your own feet this time. If you break your neck, I am not carrying you." Peter followed her into the twisted trees. The dry branches whispered around them. He could feel that old spark inside him again, the one that always came alive when the world turned strange and nobody was watching. If they were lost, then at least they were lost somewhere new. And Peter Pan had never been afraid of being lost. Peter stepped over a tangle of dead roots and paused. His boot crunched on the dry earth, and the sound reminded him of brittle paper. He stood still and let his eyes slip out of this place. He let his mind wander. In his mind he saw water, bright water. Neverland had not been like this. Neverland had been alive in every corner. The trees were green and thick with climbing vines. The sky was so wide it felt like you could fall upward into it forever. The sea had been his favorite part. The waves glowed silver at night and blue as a dragonfly's wing by day. And the mermaids. They had lived in a hidden lagoon behind a curtain of rocks and foam. He remembered how they would watch him from the shallows, hair slick and shining in the sun, laughter bubbling under the waves like song. He remembered one day when the pirates had come too close. They had dragged their battered longboat into the lagoon while the tide was low. They wanted fresh water, and maybe something else. A mermaid's tail, perhaps. Or just trouble for the fun of it. Peter had been perched in a tree above the rocks when he saw them. Tinkerbell had glowed at his ear like a tiny green star. She had tugged at his hair, warning him to wait, but he never waited. He called for the lost boys. They came crashing through the palms with sticks and dull knives, war paint on their cheeks. They threw coconuts at the pirates from the trees. They shouted rude songs and insults that made the pirates curse and wave their swords in circles. Peter had swooped down from a branch with a whoop, landing right on the pirate captain's back. He jabbed the man's hat over his eyes and leaped away laughing while the mermaids slipped under the water and tugged the boat's rope loose. The tide came in while the pirates flailed and splashed. The lagoon swallowed the longboat and carried it out to sea upside down, rolling the pirates over like dolls. They scrambled onto rocks, shouting at each other, soaked and furious. Peter and the lost boys shouted back, cheering and howling at the sky. The mermaids had risen from the water then, their hair like wet silk on their shoulders. They did not say thank you in words, but they sang as they swam away. It was better than thank you. The sound wrapped around Peter's head and chest like warm salt wind, the kind that lifted his feet off the ground if he let it. He missed that sound now. Standing among the dead trees, Peter breathed in, hoping the memory might carry him back, even for a heartbeat. But the air here smelled of dry roots and old secrets. Not salt. Not life. Tinker's voice snapped him out of it. She was crouched beside a bent tree, sniffing at something he could not see. Her tail twitched once, sharp and annoyed. "You are drifting again," she said without turning around. Peter rubbed the back of his neck. "Just remembering. It used to be better than this." Tinker looked at him over her shoulder. Her yellow eyes softened just a little. "Then keep walking. Maybe it gets better ahead, too." Peter looked up at the broken sky. He could still hear the mermaids, somewhere under his ribs, singing him forward. He stepped past Tinker and pushed deeper into the silent wood. They walked until the trees thinned and the wind grew quieter. Peter smelled something sharp in the air, like old ash drifting on smoke. He stepped through a gap between two black trunks and found himself staring at a small clearing that should not have been there. At the center sat a house. It leaned a little to one side, as if it had grown tired of standing straight. Its roof was patched with mismatched shingles. Smoke curled from a bent chimney in a thin gray thread that rose into the bruised sky. In front of the house stretched what used to be a garden. A rusted iron fence leaned inward at odd angles. Inside the fence, broken flower beds sagged under tangles of thorns and dry stalks. Roses that must have once been red and heavy now hung like blackened paper. Here and there, Peter saw old stone borders, cracked and swallowed by weeds. He stopped at the gate. Behind him, the forest waited in silence. Compared to the empty woods, the dead garden felt almost crowded, full of secrets that rustled when the wind moved through the dry stems. Tinker trotted to the gate and sniffed at the iron. Her whiskers twitched. "Used to be nice," she said. "Now it looks like your flat's carpet." Peter pushed the gate open. It squealed on its hinges, a sound that made the hairs on his neck stand up. He stepped carefully up the crooked path of loose stones, then raised his hand and knocked on the small wooden door. Inside he heard a shuffle, a bump, the clatter of something dropped. A voice swore under its breath, too quick for Peter to catch the words. Then the latch clicked. The door swung inward, just enough to show a pair of wide eyes under white fur. Long ears twitched up and down. A small paw clutched the edge of the door. It was the rabbit. The same rabbit Peter had seen in the forest, the one in the Nirvana shirt. The shirt was still there, stretched over his round middle. A tiny watch dangled from a chain at his side, ticking so fast Peter wondered if it was broken. The rabbit's eyes darted to Peter, then to Tinker, then over Peter's shoulder as if he expected something worse to appear behind them. "You followed me?" the rabbit said. His voice was thin and quick, like a violin string about to snap. "Brilliant! Absolutely brilliant! Come in, come in, no time to stand there. You want tea? I have tea. We all need tea. It is the 90s, after all." Peter looked at Tinker. She blinked back at him. He shrugged and pushed the door open the rest of the way. Inside, the house was warm but cramped. The walls leaned just like the roof did. A small table was set near a crooked fireplace where a kettle hissed over a weak fire. Mismatched teacups sat in a row, some cracked, none clean. Old posters were tacked to the walls. Peter saw one for a Blur tour, another for a movie called Pulp Fiction. A radio in the corner played faint static, then hiccuped into a line from a Nirvana song before cutting out again. The rabbit hurried past Peter and busied himself with the kettle. His paws fumbled with a chipped teapot that rattled on the table. He kept glancing at his watch, tapping the glass face like it might speak back. Peter pulled out a rickety chair and sat down. Tinker hopped onto another one, curling her tail around her paws. She watched the rabbit with unblinking eyes. "So," Peter said, "mind telling me where we are?" The rabbit snorted, his ears flopping forward. "You do not know? You fell down the hole and you do not know? Wonderful. That figures. Typical 90s, right? Nobody pays attention. All Spice Girls and PlayStation. Nobody reads the fine print anymore." Peter raised an eyebrow. "Try me." The rabbit poured tea into three cups, though he did not seem to notice he made one for himself. His paw trembled as he held the pot. "You are in Wonderland, or what is left of it. Everything went wrong a while back. Gardens died. Sky broke. Party stopped being fun. Madness turned mean. Nothing works like it used to, not since he showed up." Peter leaned forward. "Who?" The rabbit checked his watch again, then checked the window, then checked his watch a second time. "Late. I am late. I am always late. Meetings, plans. None of it matters if you are late. He hates when people are late." Tinker flicked her tail. "Who hates it?" The rabbit looked at her, eyes wide, nose twitching so fast Peter thought it might fall off. He leaned closer across the table, his whiskers brushing a cold teacup. "Hook," the rabbit whispered. "They call him Hook." Peter felt something cold stir in his chest. He tasted salt on his tongue. Old salt. Old sea. Old fear. The rabbit straightened so quickly his chair nearly tipped backward. He pointed at the tea as if he had just remembered it existed. "Drink up. I have to go. Late. So very late. Meetings, business, secrets. So much to fix. Maybe not enough time left to fix any of it." Peter stared at the rabbit, then at his own hands wrapped around a chipped cup. He felt Tinker's tail flick against his leg under the table. Wonderland? Hook. The tea smelled bitter, but he drank anyway.